You're listening to the Embrace Running Podcast. I'm Mark.
I'm Elena, and this is episode number 143 for November 10th, 2014.
Welcome to the podcast, where we love to talk about running. What do we have today? We're going to kind of
focus... some running.
Running, yeah. Of course. We're going to be talking, for the most part, about the New York Marathon, which was about a week ago. Kind of catch up on some of the news from that, kind of go into some of the details on... Well, we'll talk about the winners, but we'll talk about how many people ran it and some interesting numbers from that and a little recap of that and kind of catch up on what's going on with us and maybe just a couple quick news items. And then I think that's going to be kind of the focus for today. So we'll see how we do staying on that kind of track.
Are you insinuating that we might get off track?
Maybe. It happens time to time. But let's kind of jump back in and catch up with how our week has gone.
Or I guess it's a couple of weeks now.
Yeah, it's almost 2 weeks, I think, since we last podcasted.
Yeah. So you want me to go first?
Yeah.
I think I had two pretty good weeks from what I recall. Actually got back to some strength training, some cross training. So I think I was on the bike a couple of days and some strength training, maybe 4 or 5 days. I think that's what I did. Mm-hmm. In terms of running, pretty consistent with that. Pretty much followed my training plan for Route 66, which is just a couple of weeks away. And did my 20 miler that was on my plan a little over a week ago now. So, it went okay. The last 2 miles were windy, but I cannot complain after.
We'll get into that. Yeah. You're not allowed to complain on that.
But it was windy. It was a headwind. And it was funny cause I was running out and back and, instead of running out 10 miles and back 10 miles, I think I ran out 8 miles and back 8 miles just in case I wasn't feeling well. I'd be closer to like home base in the car. But then when I was getting close to, you know, the home base, I guess, or 16 miles, I was like, well, do I really need to do 20? You know, how much am I going to gain from an extra 4 miles? You know, so I was trying to talk myself out of doing the full 20 miles. But thankfully, the other part of me went out and was like, there's nothing physically wrong with you. You just want to stop because it'd be easy to stop. So just get the 20 miles done. So then I went in the opposite direction. I went out to and back to. And when I did the first 2 miles, I felt really good. And I was like, wow, I'm so glad I did this. I feel awesome. And then I turned around and I was like, oh, I think I had a tailwind. That's why I felt awesome. Because now it's a full headwind. So managed to get the 20 miles in, though. I think more than anything, it was good for me mentally to get that done. Because it's been a little while that I've done that in training. Mm-hmm. You know, getting that mileage done in training. So... I think it'll help if not physically, at least mentally when I'm out there on the course for Route 66. So got that done. And this past weekend was supposed to be a 12 miler, but just kind of moved some things around just because it was a busy weekend. So I'll probably be getting that done tomorrow, actually. So even though it's 2 days late, it'll still get done.
Right.
Yeah. So overall, a pretty good week. Foot's been pretty much the same. It got better for a little while, but I think over the weekend I had different shoes on, just walking around in them, and it got a little bit worse, but I think it'll be okay. I'm planning to rest it some after Route 66, so hopefully it'll be 100% for the beginning of the year. That's what I'm hoping. So, and I think that's all I have for my weeks in training. So if I remember something, I'll just throw do what I in. Normally do and interrupt you when you're talking about your weeks in training. So your turn.
Okay, what's going on with me here? I think the last time I discussed that I was in a rut.
Yeah.
I think that's exactly what I said. So I'm coming out of my rut. I'm very happy to say that. I don't consider myself in a rut right now. I haven't, over the last 2 weeks, I haven't run as much as I thought I would run. But I'm not in a rut. I don't know if that makes any sense in a way, because just mentally I'm not in a rut. So I'm feeling pretty good. I'm really anxious and excited to get out for some runs. It's just been... having the time to do it has been extremely difficult. I have been surprised over the past 2 weeks how good I felt on my runs. Almost shockingly good. And actually did the runs that I have done, I've done much faster than I necessarily would have planned and felt great. So that's a positive that I'm going to take from that. So I'm very excited about that. This weekend, I think just yesterday, I was planning to go do a long run and it didn't happen. It was a real busy week this past week. One of my best friends got married and I was a groomsman in the wedding. This is my second wedding. Second groomsman.
I might clarify that a little bit.
Yeah, the second time this year that I've been a groomsman in a wedding. So it was a very busy week, you know, rehearsal, dinner, tuxedos. And then the actual wedding day itself was on Saturday. And then Sunday, it was interesting because I was telling you I felt as tired. I was as tired as if I had run, you know, a half marathon or even a 15 or 16 miler. I think just, I mean, I don't know if that sounds completely silly to some people, but just being at a wedding kind of all day and being part of the wedding and just, you know, basically starting at 8 o'clock in the morning and going until midnight and you're spending huge amounts of time on your feet. I was just really tired on Sunday. So my run on Sunday did not happen as planned, but maybe the wedding will count as cross training. No.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, time on your feet, right? I mean, you were probably on your feet the majority of the day. So people talk about time on your feet. So while you didn't get like the running part of it in, I mean, you're still moving around on tired feet.
Yeah.
So that's something.
So, I mean, to sum it up, it was a very busy week. It was a fun week, but not a lot of time for running. But like I said, I feel like I'm mentally out of this rut and I'm kind of looking forward to upcoming stuff. Route 66 is right around the corner. I'm honestly not prepared for that, but I will just go out there and get through that race. I know we were looking at the weather this week in Tulsa, and it's very, very cold this week in Tulsa. So hopefully it warms up a little bit by the time we get there because, you know, we are from California.
And you guys have heard us talk about being cold weather wimps.
Yeah.
And you know, I was looking at the forecast. I was like, huh. Like, I don't think I realized how cold it could be there. So that'll be interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about that, I guess, as that day comes closer.
Yeah.
And actually, when we do a recap of that marathon. So the last thing I was just going to mention, because I mentioned it last time, we did receive the, it's almost like a mythical creature. We did receive our Ragnar Napa medals. So we did receive them in the mail exactly 42 days after crossing the finish line. So I think that's a new record for the length of time to receive a medal post-race that I probably will ever see, hopefully, in
hopefully,
my lifetime.
Hopefully that you'll ever
hopefully.
See.
Hopefully. I can't imagine it taking any longer than that. So we did get the medal exactly as we expected it. I think everybody on our team basically got it on two consecutive days. I think, I don't know exactly what day we got ours. It was on a Friday or Saturday? I think a Saturday, something like that.
No, I think it was the beginning of the week.
Was it? Okay.
Yeah.
I'm a little off. But yeah, but I know because I counted it on the calendar 42 days after crossing the finish line. It was interesting because in the weeks leading up to it, I know Ragnar had sent out emails and they posted on the website that, you know, hey, look to your mailbox. All the medals have been mailed out by October 21st.
Mm-hmm.
And then the week after that, people kept posting, you know, we haven't received our medals. Where's the medals? And they kept saying, you know, we've confirmed and we reconfirmed that the medals were mailed out. And, you know, when I actually did get the medal, the postmark on the envelope, actually, because there is tracking on it, says it was mailed out on the 28th. So I don't know what issue there was with the supplier or the race. But obviously that information that they were originally giving out was not correct. But mm-hmm. we did finally get them. So happy that that's just kind of done. I was talking to one of my teammates who he said, yeah, I got the medal. And it was kind of, eh, you know, it's like, okay, finally got the medal. Great.
Yeah.
Like, you know, would have been nice at the time. So
yeah, whatever. Like sort of like anticlimactic.
Yeah, a little
like,
bit, right?
Okay, I'll just, you know, put this wherever.
Yeah. It's not like we didn't know what it was going to look like. So, all right, let's. That's all I had. So let's kind of move on. Let's mention some recent races, including New York City Marathon, Morgan Hill Marathon, U.S. Half Marathon, R&R Savannah, Ragnar Relay Las Vegas, which is actually on my to-do list to get out there at some point and do that one. Disney Wine and Dine, which I actually paid no attention. I haven't read anything about how that race went. And did I miss any?
I read that it happened.
That's about
it. And it was, I think, the fifth year.
Yeah.
That's what I got.
Did I miss anything?
I don't think so.
Okay. Kind of just news topics to mention. Marathon Maniacs. You know, mm-hmm. it's that club that, you know, if you run a certain number of marathons in a certain amount of time, you can join. A couple weeks ago, they actually passed the 10,000 member mark.
Yeah.
So if you join at this point going forward, you're going to have a number that starts. It's going to be a 5-digit number, no more 4-digit numbers, because everybody who joins, you get a number, and they started at 1, and it just climbs up sequentially. So now we're in the 10,000s.
Yeah, and actually it looks like somebody just posted, I was just looking at Facebook, not that I wasn't listening, but I was also looking at Facebook, and it looks like number 10,153.
Oh, already?
Already.
Okay.
And shout out there to a fellow listener, Chris, actually, who is 10,153.
Oh, okay. Great.
Yeah.
Congrats on that.
Yeah. So that was interesting timing there.
Yeah. It would have been cool to be, I wonder who was the 10,000th person.
I remember reading about that, but yeah.
Because if nothing else, it's just a really easy number to remember.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we'll be looking forward to seeing a lot of marathon maniacs out at Route 66 Marathon.
Yeah.
Because they do kind of cater to the maniacs and have a lot of special perks, which I'm sure we'll talk about
as we get closer.
For the maniacs, which include a special bib, special ribbon on your medal, some pre-race perks, and I don't even remember the rest. But yeah, we'll end up talking about that. So, now, kind of on some negative news, before New York City Marathon, we actually got news about female elite runner Rita Jeptu.
Right.
Actually failed a drug test or tested positive for EPO, right?
Right. So her, they say failed her preliminary doping test, basically, because, you know, they always collect two samples, a sample A and a sample B. And at the time that all this news was coming out, sample A had only been tested, and that's the one that has tested positive. And even up until now, I haven't heard about sample B being tested, or if it has, they haven't released that information. But it's made its way. I'm sure everybody has kind of heard about it. It's been leading a lot of discussion now about this. And my question was, you know, this happened, I believe, in September. Mm-hmm. And since then, she ran Chicago and won. And I think by doing that, actually clinched the title at that time for the world. I forgot what it's called.
Marathon Majors.
Thank you. Yeah. So I'm just curious how long it, you know, normally takes to test a sample B, or at what point do they test sample B? Or, I mean, obviously I'm not in the know. I'm not directly involved in any way. You know, I don't have any sort of information or knowledge about how all that works, but just me as just a normal person, a lay person, I guess, you know, I'm just like, what? Like, we're in, when all this was coming out, at the end of October, almost November, and we still don't have the result for sample B. Like, what's going on? Test it.
I mean, that's the strange reality of professional sports, or a lot of professional sports and drug testing. I don't know why it seems to take forever for these tests to occur, and then it takes forever for the news of the results to be released.
Right.
And then if there's further testing needed, that seems to take forever. And it's always these things where, you know, probably cycling's the most famous sport when I think, you know, when you start thinking about EPO and failed drug tests and all this, but, you know, it's always that, you know, oh, this athlete was disqualified from this race that happened 10 months ago or last year.
Yeah.
You know, it's always that retroactive 1 year back.
I know.
So, I can see what you're saying. It's kind of weird in 2014, this just takes forever.
Right.
Although, granted, we want to make sure that all these results and testing gets done the appropriate way.
Of course. No, I don't want it to be rushed, but...
But it shouldn't take as long as it
But it is it November.
Takes. So,
yeah.
I mean, it definitely is a big black eye for the sport of professional running.
Mm-hmm.
And we hope this doesn't, you know, we hope this isn't a signal that there is widespread doping going on at the elite level.
Although I know a lot of people think that
there is.
That is the case.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We don't want to turn this into what cycling was 5-10 years ago, mm-hmm. or, I mean, some might even say today. I don't know.
Right.
So it's definitely a bummer, especially right on top of the kind of what should have been a World Marathon Major announcement, or
the awarding of
awarding
so
it to her at New York.
Postponed at this point.
So had to mention that in the
news.
All right, let's move on. Talk about Manchester City Marathon,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of a weird race to mention, but kind of interesting because the leaders got lost.
Yeah, the three leaders actually, I guess, missed a turn or something on the course. So there was a slight change of the course from years past. This was the 8th annual Anthem Manchester City Marathon. And they had made some changes towards the end of the course, I believe. And the people the guys in 1, 2, and 3 spots, I guess, missed it at some point. And the person who was in 4th at the time actually ended up winning the whole race. And he was actually, I think, on track to finish 4th, I think, for like the 2nd or 3rd time in a row.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, kind of a bummer when that happens.
And it's one that the course was changed for this year to actually make it easier.
Yes,
and,
right.
And
they
less
like
turns.
They took out a lot of excess turns from the years past. So they didn't go into specific details as to what exactly happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, was there not somebody at that specific turn, or I don't know who was leading them?
Right.
You know, but clearly they, yeah.
Now, didn't they end up making good with the money prize or no?
I don't know that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought they ended up awarding some kind of money to the guys that I guess should have won, but I could be completely confusing that with another race. So
yeah, I didn't read that, but it's definitely possible. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So should we move on to kind of the main topic here, which is the New York City Marathon?
Yeah.
Or I guess the sponsors would be happy if I said the TCS New York City Marathon,
mm-hmm.
which I still think of it as ING, but
right.
their old sponsor.
Which I don't think the sponsors are going to be happy to hear you say that, but so maybe we'll just go with New York City Marathon.
It's a force of habit. So I guess let's talk about New York. Let's not bury the weed, and let's talk about the winners of the race to start off. Female winner, Mary Katani from Kenya. Winning time, 2:25.07. Male winner, Wilson Kipsang from Kenya, 2:10.59. Nothing amazing in their finish times because of the weather. We'll get into that. Female wheelchair race winner, Tatiana McFadden. That's her second consecutive win. Male wheelchair race winner, Kurt Fernley of Australia. Those two times were 1:42.16 and 1:30.55, respectively.
Although the wheelchair athletes did only cover 23.2 miles due to the wind. They started on the Brooklyn side of the Verrazano Narrows Bridge.
Yeah, which was unusual.
Yeah.
But it was, I think, the story of the day and the reason times weren't what I think some people would have hoped for. And there was some, I don't want to say rumblings, or there were some talks of, at least on the men's side, going for some record times. But it turned out to be a very cold and probably more than anything a windy day. The wind, I think, was probably the story of the day.
Right.
And like you said, they had to alter that wheelchair start. I know we both ended up watching the entire marathon on TV.
Or
what they showed of it on TV. We'll talk about that.
Yeah.
And you could see them crossing the bridge right after the start line. I saw one of the elite females almost kind of get blown into another athlete. And I think they were kind of just laughing.
Right. Because what could you do at that point?
You know, for me, I can almost read their mind. You know, I think she was pretty much thinking like, holy crap, it is so windy. This is ridiculous. but I think she was kind of almost laughing about it, just kind of getting blown into the person next to her. So the wind was definitely the story of the day. And that kind of ended any hopes of really fast times. And I know, you know, like we said, we watched the TV coverage and it was kind of interesting just watching people standing around at the start.
Mm-hmm.
And you saw a lot of people in very thick, big jackets, or you saw people in a lot less clothing than that who looked very, very, very cold. So we definitely saw people who maybe just had maybe they brought like an old space blanket type Mylar with them.
Yeah.
Or they just kind of had a shirt and some gloves and kind of shivering and cold. I mean, it definitely looked cold. I know I'm not a...
Yep.
New Yorker, like I said, California
looked
freezing probably to us. So,
yep.
Definitely a windy day. The funny thing we were joking about the TV coverage is we watched the whole thing start to finish in the TV coverage, and I don't know what it is with TV coverage of elite races. They always seem to miss the moves by any of the athletes.
Yeah,
and
it feels like we say this every year with like every major marathon we try to watch that they actually have coverage for.
Yeah. It's almost like there's somebody in the booth directing the broadcast who is purposely trying to keep us from watching what happens at the race.
Mm-hmm.
And by that we mean, you know, they kind of have, you know, obviously the men's and the women's race are going basically at the same time.
Yeah.
And they'll switch back and forth and, you know, there's commentary and all that. But, you know, they'll switch to the women's race and there might be a group of, you know, early in the race, a pack of 10 female athletes. They'll go to the men, you know, let's say there's 12 over there. They go back to the women. Suddenly there's 6. They go back to the men. All of a sudden, there's only 5 men. They go back to the women. There's only 2. And you never see what happened.
Yeah. It's almost like they're like, oh, somebody's breaking away. Make sure you, go to a different shot. Go to a different shot. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's weird. You almost never see until you get to the final two. It seems like you never see the moves.
You're
you don't know if
everybody else dropped off.
You don't know if somebody came to the front and pushed the pace. You don't know if somebody just fell off the back. You don't know if it was at one of their, you know, aid stations when they're grabbing a bottle. Something happened.
You don't know if they pushed everybody down.
Somebody
you
tripped.
You just don't know what happened. Yeah.
So that was our comical complaint from the day of just kind of missing everything that happened. But I still really enjoyed watching it on TV.
Yeah.
It definitely made me want to. I always, you know, every time, whether it's Chicago or Boston or New York, you catch it on TV and you definitely, at least for me, makes me want to go out there and run it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the big city marathon is definitely something like, oh, I want to go do that. That looks awesome. I want to go be part of that. So, that was kind of cool. Let's run through some of the numbers. 50,869 starters, 50,564 finishers, which means only 305 registered participants did not finish the race. No, I'm sorry. Only 300 that started the race did not finish the race.
Right.
So that's a pretty...
I'm surprised that number isn't larger for those conditions.
Yeah, on definitely a tough day.
Yeah. What if it would have been like 50,869 starters and like finishers 20,000?
Well, that probably means a tornado ripped through the course halfway. But I mean, that's pretty good considering it was a pretty windy day and pretty a pretty cold day. The one interesting thing is, you know, it was funny watching on Facebook and kind of online social media, a lot of people kind of getting called out for, you'd see somebody, a picture of a man who's running with a woman's bib. You know, if you look up the name.
I mean,
you're making some assumptions based on name. Well, actually, no, because you could see male or female.
Right.
So
you knew that it wasn't.
You know, New York's a very expensive race to do. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of people selling their bibs to other runners or just giving it to other runners. But it's just kind of funny when you see kind of proof online of, you know, that's not a woman, you know, or that's not a man. Or then, you know, lots of accounts of people kind of not running the entire marathon, just jumping out at mile 20 or 13.
Yeah, mile 21. Yeah. You know, not sweaty or disheveled, or somebody clearly saw them jump in at that point.
Let's talk about male versus female. 30,144 male finishers to 20,420 female finishers. So that's actually a 10,000 difference. That's a pretty big difference. I know we spend a lot of time talking about a lot of, at least, you know, that at the half marathon level, it's seemingly more females out there most of the time. And when it comes to the marathon, it definitely skews more male. And this is definitely a big difference compared to some other races. So 130 countries represented. All 50 states and the District of Columbia were represented.
What?
I added a, yeah.
That was extra representation, in case anybody's wondering.
And then this year was pretty cool. They actually had the 1 millionth finisher to cross the line in race history. That was Catherine Slingluff of Brooklyn, New York. So a local. That's actually pretty cool. 40 years old. She actually ran a time of 4:43.36. I don't know. I guess I never read one way or the other if she got anything special other than just getting her name and her picture taken.
That's a good point.
Yeah, she should have. I hope at the very least.
I think she did, but I don't know what it is.
Let's just assume she did. I hope at the very least, maybe she got entry next year automatic.
That'd be pretty cool, actually.
Maybe, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
I would have asked for maybe, you know, lifetime guaranteed entry.
Lifetime.
Am I being a little bit too greedy?
I guess you aim for the lifetime, and if they say, well, we can give you next year, you're like, okay, I'll take it.
Yeah. Guaranteed entry. Well, if they're only going to do next year, how about guaranteed and free entry? I should say that. First American female finisher, Desiree Linden. She ran a 2:28.11. First American male finisher, Meb, of course, ran a really great race, finishing fourth in 2:13.18. He actually looked pretty good. Kara Goucher, I know for the women, was out there. She had a very emotional
and difficult day.
Difficult day. I guess she really just didn't have a great day, and she was, you know, she was crying at the finish and in post race interview, and she was real, real emotional over it.
Yeah, it seemed like she ended up maybe pushing harder than she had originally expected because of conditions. She was trying to stay with the leading pack just to shield from the conditions. And I think it's one of those things where you start out too fast, maybe, than what she had originally planned. So, yeah. But she got it done.
She did. I mean, kind of. Yeah. She was, I don't know. Very emotional.
Yeah.
What else do we want to say? We do want to mention one of our listeners, Dave, who's actually here from California, was actually traveled from California out to the East Coast and did run the marathon, did finish it, actually had a pretty good day. He actually emailed us a full race recap of his entire kind of race experience, and he was kind enough to let us share that with everybody on our website. So we actually did kind of a guest blog post over at embracerunning.com, and it has his full recap of running the New York City Marathon. It was very detailed and very good in that it really kind of conveyed what it would be like to go out there and run New York.
Yeah, and it definitely gave me the impression of what the conditions were like there. And it also, at the same time, got me more excited to run the race in the future.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if you want to read the full recap, head over to our website. It's on there. And you can kind of read all the details. Is there anything we want to pull from it, just to mention? I mean, like I said, the story of the day was definitely super windy, which is probably just having a super windy day is probably harder than just a really cold day.
Right.
But I mean, it was super windy and pretty cold. So,
well, even, I mean, just to kind of highlight that, a couple of examples that he gave in terms of the wind was that his hat almost blew off. A corner of his bib actually tore off. Yeah. So whenever the wind really picked up, he held on to his bib because he was afraid it would get ripped off and then they'd pull him off the course, you know, because he wouldn't have a bib. And then it actually, because it was so windy, it ended up changing his gait. So he was like hunched over, mm-hmm. you know, and actually ended up having some back pain because mm-hmm. he was just so hunched over trying to protect himself. So,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know when I run in really windy conditions or when I've run, I think with CIM in pouring rain, it actually changes me because I end up my head. I mean, I'm pretty bad about keeping my head up, but my head even gets down more.
It was like an inch off the ground.
Not quite that bad.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, I'm trying to keep the hat on. You're trying to kind of stay out the rain, and that can really.
Right.
You know, play havoc on your form.
Trying to protect your face.
Yeah, and... it's really tough on that. Yeah. He did mention security, of course, was super heavy, as mm-hmm. you would expect for this type of race, especially at the start. But that's a good thing, kind of to protect everybody.
Right. He gave us an insight into transportation to the race, you know, which does seem a bit complicated.
Yes.
Although I guess that could be the indication or the case for a lot of these big marathons, you know, big city marathons.
Yeah, they always tend to be a logistics nightmare. I think New York probably might be the most difficult because you might be taking the subway and mm-hmm. then hopping on a ferry and then maybe getting on a bus and then running the race. And then, of course, afterwards, it's going to be quite a walk to get back to anywhere mm-hmm. post-race.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, at New York now, they give you that option of either if you're going to check a bag, then you kind of have to go, let's just say, the long way out.
Yeah.
Whereas if you don't check a bag, they'll give you the...
the poncho.
The it's like a lined poncho. We've talked about that before.
Yeah.
Which he actually said he was super happy that he chose mm-hmm. that option because number one, the poncho was pretty cool. Definitely keeps you warm. You get that sooner. But it also gets you out of
the area
sooner. You're right. Allowed to kind of exit the post race zone a little bit sooner. So he definitely mm-hmm. recommended that as the better way to go.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I would do that just to get the poncho.
Right.
The nice, you know.
You're like, I am still walking the furthest way, but I just want the poncho.
Actually, yeah. I mean, it's kind of like an extra souvenir, if nothing else.
Yeah, yeah. And then he did mention great crowd support and excellent aid stations.
Mm-hmm.
Very well staffed. Volunteers were awesome. Had enough, you know, fluids, etc. Definitely did not run out. So just wanted to mention that. They did a great job with that. So
yeah. I mean, overall, super happy with the race he mm-hmm. was. And, you know, it's definitely, I think, for a lot of us, a bucket list. We haven't gotten out there to do New York yet.
Someday.
But I think we will someday. I'm pretty sure it won't be next year. I'm positive it won't be next year. You're doing Boston. Maybe we'll tick off the marathon majors one at a time.
One at a time.
Yeah, one per year, I guess I should say.
Well, so. We didn't do one this year, so maybe we're going to do every other year.
That's Chicago was last year.
Huh? Yeah.
Okay. My memory is not so good. Yeah. So. Anything else from that you want to pull?
Nope, that was it.
Okay, yeah. So head over to the website, give it a read. Gives you a lot of good information.
It's a really good read.
And we didn't mention Large Expo, which is always fun.
Right.
Yeah. So the last thing I kind of want to mention from New York was just shoes, because I like to talk about shoes sometimes.
Such a thing.
Yeah. It's
numbers and shoes.
So actually, I'll link to an article that actually has all the shoes that the elites wore, the top 100 finishers, which that's probably way too much detail for most people. But
so you're going to give us like a Cliff Notes version with the top?
Basically, the two most popular shoes with elites was the Adidas Adios Boost 2,
mm-hmm.
Which you definitely see a lot of the top 10 wearing. And probably the second most popular shoe, at least with the elites finishing towards the top, was the Nike Zoom Streak 3, which the most interesting thing about that is that's actually not the most current model of the shoe. They're actually on the 5, but...
that's interesting.
Yeah, but what you actually saw out there a lot was the Zoom Streak 3. So very, very strange. I don't know a lot about that particular shoe other than that version 3 just keeps on living, and that's apparently what elites like to use. So, but yeah, the Adidas Adios Boost 2, you'll actually see on a lot of the top elites now. How much of that comes down to the shoes they like to run in versus that's your shoe sponsor.
Right.
So... I mean, once you're sponsored by a shoe company, you're committing to that brand. But at least in terms of choosing which model to wear, they obviously get that choice, and that's the decision that they made. So, like I said, I will link to it where they actually have pictures of the top 100 to come across the line. Actually, they missed one. It's actually funny. They joked it was too fast for them. The cameras to get it. Yeah. Otherwise, they have pictures of all the shoes.
So they don't know what it was, or
I think it mentioned what it was, but I think they didn't get a picture of it. So. Huh.
That's funny. Yeah,
that's what I was going to mention about that. What we're going to lead into was just, since we're talking about elite runners quite a bit today, wanted to talk a little bit about the financial side for elites, which is kind of interesting. On an article that came across our desk, was talking about kind of how much money these elites make at races and kind of some of the big paydays for these elite racers.
Mm-hmm.
So In terms of the biggest purse prize for an individual winning a race, the number one race in the world is actually the Dubai Marathon, which at first you either might be surprised or completely not surprised because obviously a lot of money in Dubai.
Right.
But when you think of big time races probably around the world, you're not thinking about Dubai. But Dubai has a $200,000 prize purse outright for the winner. It's followed by kind of what becomes the usual suspects. Boston Marathon, $150,000. Chicago Marathon, $100,000. New York City Marathon, $100,000. Then it kind of moves into some maybe familiar, not so familiar ones. Seoul International, Tokyo, Hong Kong, London, Berlin, Istanbul. $50,000 prize purse there.
Mm-hmm.
And Singapore
for $50,000 also.
Yeah. Another interesting way to look at elites and the money that they can make running races is kind of not just the numbers we just mentioned are your payday for kind of finishing first. But every race is different. Some races will actually give you bonuses based on course records, world mm-hmm. records. So there's actually more money that can be made at certain races.
And I remember there was a race, and I can't remember which one it was, where I think they start off the men and women at a different time, and then
yeah.
I think if the woman is able to finish for mm-hmm. I forgot exactly how it works, and you know,
yeah, it's kind
they
of a
get
man
the bonus.
Versus woman.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And mind you, all the numbers we're talking about do not count appearance fees.
Right.
And does not account bonuses from sponsors, the individual yeah. athlete sponsors.
This is directly just related to that one race.
Yeah, and what yeah. they're paying out. So when you actually account for the purse prize for winning the race and any bonuses that it can be possible with these course records and world records, Seoul International Marathon could be the biggest payday of any individual race, $580,000 for the men and $380,000 for the women.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess we got to call them on some sexism there.
Yeah.
Because obviously there can be more money made by the men than the women. So
right.
That's not fair. But I mean, that's a pretty big payday. That's followed by Tokyo at $382,000, London, $305,000, Dubai then comes in at $300,000, and so on and so on. Chicago make the top 10 list there. New York does. The last one on the list is actually the world's best 10K in Puerto Rico,
mm-hmm.
$125,000. Just worth mentioning because it's Puerto Rico, small place. And it's a 10K. It's the only one on the list that's not a marathon.
Right.
So, kind of interesting there. In terms of if you're an elite, but maybe you can't win the race, but maybe you can place top five, where's mm-hmm. the best place to go? These numbers are for total purse for places 2 through 5. And it's kind of the usual suspects. $155,000 at Boston. Dubai, $152,000. New York City, $140,000. Chicago, $100,000. Followed by London and Seoul and Tokyo. So,
it seems like it's for the last three categories that we talked about, it seems to be the same people for the most part, mm-hmm. just not necessarily in the same order.
Yeah.
Yeah. With the world's 10K.
Yeah. You know. So then kind of moving on, I guess we should mention kind of the top individual athletes and what they've earned. The top male for earning kind of career earnings, Haile Gebrselassie, $3.5 million, which that's not a bad payday. I mean, it doesn't compare to kind of some of our U.S. Basketball, baseball, sports, but that's not a bad take.
And these figures are as of October 29th of this year.
Right. So
yeah, this does not include New York, just FYI.
Yeah. The top female earner, $2.2 million, Paula Radcliffe,
mm-hmm.
who's actually been basically kind of out of the game for a little while. So
yeah.
Pretty good. Now, the one thing that caught my eye was, hey, that's about a $1.3 million difference between the top man and the top female,
mm-hmm.
Which is kind of, you don't like to see that kind of
discrepancy.
Yeah. But actually, when you run through the top 10, once you get down to spots 2 through 10 on the list of top earners, it actually balances out.
Right.
Between
they're
men and
women. They're
pretty even. Yeah. It's only that top spot that there's a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond that, it tends to be pretty even. Actually, the number 2 female and the number 3 female have actually earned more than the 2 and 3 male
mm-hmm.
Career-wise.
Right.
So, and then if you actually go all the way down to number 10 on the list, it's almost a dead heat. So
mm-hmm.
At least it's good to kind of see that parity, at least down the list.
Yeah.
Beyond the top one. So kind of some interesting stuff. And I will link to that in the show notes if you want to see the detailed charts and graphs that kind of show you all that information. And if you don't, then you already got the information here.
Yep.
All right. That's going to kind of wrap it up. What are we going to mention? We haven't registered yet.
We're in the process.
We're in the process. I kind of agreed to about 10 minutes before we started recording.
just out of nowhere.
Just that I apparently pull stuff out of nowhere.
I think especially when registering for races, you just randomly, hey.
I'm registering for this.
Right.
So I'm going to be registering locally here for Brazen Racing's New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. Mm-hmm. Half marathons, is that what they're actually called?
Yeah. Or I think their New Year's Eve, it's called the almost New Year's Eve.
Yeah, it's not actually on New Year's Eve, but right. I'm going to be doing, unless I change my mind in the next hour, I have to fill out the form and write the check.
Oh, no, it's already done. It's in ink. Can't do it.
Unless I change my mind in the next hour, I'm going to add that to my races to do, and that is going to be a half marathon for both of them, and those are both trail races. Mm-hmm. So am I correct in this is my first trail half or no?
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So not only am I doing my first one, I'm doing two of them in a week. So I'm going to give that a shot and see how that goes. And you are committed, kind of, sort of, because we haven't mailed it in yet.
Yeah. I'm committed as I can be at this point to the almost New Year's Eve. And I'm probably going to do the New Year's Day, but I'm not fully committed to that one yet.
And disclosure, I do get a special medal for doing both of those.
Right.
But that has nothing to do with the reason. Sure. I know you will not believe me on that.
Yeah.
But that actually has nothing to do with the reason.
You know nobody's going to believe you on that.
I know. That's why I'm trying to prove that point, that it's actually not about that double medal. I just kind of want to get those two in. So yeah. We'll see. Yeah. All right. So what else? We got somebody to wish good luck to?
Yeah. Tanya, who's going to be running R&R Las Vegas half this coming weekend. So have a good time. It's an interesting race. It's fun. It's definitely different because of the
time
start.
It's an oddball
time, yeah. Yeah, and I think the one suggestion I had given her is just really plan out your meals mm-hmm. for like that day.
Yeah.
So, because that really messed me up when we did it last year.
Let's get to some feedback.
Yeah.
Incoming message.
So we heard from Ruth, who said she missed us a couple weeks back and didn't want us, I think specifically you more so, to lose your running mojo because... As you mentioned at the beginning of this episode, you were kind of feeling like you were in a rut.
Yeah. So I'm coming out of my rut. So thank you.
Yeah. So she was sending us some enthusiastic running vibes. So they worked. Yeah, they worked. Heard from Sarah, who was letting us know about the Looney Challenge. It's part of the Twin Cities Marathon weekend or event. Since we've mentioned Twin Cities Marathon before, it's on my list. So to do at some point. So the challenge actually includes, I believe, the 5K and 10K on Saturday. And then the 10-miler on Sunday, which she remembered that you really like the 10-mile mm-hmm. distance.
Yeah.
So she's like, it might be something that you would be wanting to do if you wanted to do a 10-miler. And then they actually also have the Ultra Looney Challenge. Because, of course, as soon as she mentioned this, I started looking it up. So then they also have the Ultra Looney Challenge, which is the 5K and 10K on Saturday and the full marathon on Sunday.
Right.
So it's definitely something to think about mm-hmm. when we decide to head over there.
Yeah, both those seem very doable to me. I mean,
yeah.
We've done Goofy, so... it's very doable. I think the 10-miler is obviously the easier kind of not beat myself up option. So mm-hmm. we'll give that some thought, I guess.
Yeah. And I think it seems like the 10-miler alone as an event by itself sells out. Mm-hmm. And so by doing the challenge, you are guaranteed to get into the 10-miler. Yeah. Also heard from, we talked about Dave already. So go read his race recap mm-hmm. On New York City Marathon. I heard from Linda, who was looking forward to doing her first trail 5K this past weekend. So, Linda, we haven't heard from you yet, but we hope everything went well and you had a good time. So, heard from Tanya, which we mentioned is going to be running R&R Vegas. And she actually had an interesting question that I don't think we've talked about before or that we've been asked before. She's going to be doing a run walk for the half marathon and was wondering where she should basically place herself crawl-wise in terms of pace. Does she place herself... Or do we think she should place herself based on her what she's going to be running or what her overall pace is going to be? Mm-hmm. So do you want to go over what we...
Well, I think we both agreed completely that she should place herself based on her running pace, the pace that she would be running when she was running,
right.
Not necessarily her average pace for the running and the walking.
Yeah.
And that's mainly because that way you'll be kind of... When you're running, you're in the same speed as everybody else around you. And then when you do take those walk breaks, the advice is just hopefully... move to the outside. You know, usually that's right, but left is fine. Get to the outside of the course. Make sure nobody's right on your heels when you kind of transition to walking.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always good to kind of raise your hand. Very few people actually do that in reality, but as long as you do that, it's. I think that's the best experience for you, and nobody around you will have any issue with that. So.
Right, I agree. Yeah.
And then R&R races in general tend to be very lax in kind of where people place themselves and where they get placed. So it's not an R&R race is not necessarily a race where I recommend kind of moving back for, for any real reason. There's kind of, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know how to explain that one better.
Right. I know what you mean.
Okay.
But hopefully everybody else does too.
If not, I'll clarify.
No, because I can't think of a better way to, to explain it either. So we also heard from Margot, who tried the Honey Stinger Chews, which we've mentioned before. She actually tried the pomegranate flavor and really liked them. She's thanking us for recommending them and actually asking what flavor I like, which I personally like the fruit smoothie. Mm-hmm. Or the cherry cola. So I think she was going to give fruit smoothie a chance. So you've had them before, but it's been a while, I think, since you've had them. And I think you had the fruit smoothie too. So
really?
Yeah.
I was going to say, I don't think I've ever tried these, but
I think you
have. Okay.
Yeah. I think you had some that I had.
Okay.
Yeah. If not, you're going to have to try some. Maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe. You heard from Bradley, who ran his first marathon at R&R Savannah. And he shared a picture of the medal with us. Good looking medal. Mm-hmm. He had a great time, but he says that the marathon is a tough distance to run.
Yes, it is.
I cannot disagree. So
that's why you should be especially proud of yourself and congratulations on the race, because it is no easy task.
Nope.
It's definitely an awesome thing. So congrats.
Way to go. Heard from Forbes, who shared a picture of the Bird in Hand half marathon medal, which is actually a horseshoe. Mm-hmm. So it's handmade out of real horseshoes in the Amish community. And he's actually run this race twice. So he made the joke that now he has two horseshoes. So if he runs it two more times, then he can get a horse.
That's
so,
right.
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
Yeah, it's a cool medal.
Yeah.
And knowing it's actually a real horseshoe, you know, it's something different. Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. And then we heard from Megan, who shared the picture of the medal from the hot chocolate race in Chicago that just took place. So we're actually looking forward to getting a medal like that next year. So
Yeah, I'm looking forward to hot chocolate San Francisco. I just hope we lucked out last year with the weather.
Yeah.
So hopefully we can luck out twice in a row with the weather. And I know me personally, I'm looking to kind of run faster than what I did last year. So we'll see if I can do that. Because I remember I ran pretty well for the first 10K and then kind of packed it in and called it a day, I think, after that. Because it's all uphill at the end of
at the
SF,
it is. So. It totally is. Yeah. My goal for that race, not now that we're jumping into
is to eat a lot of chocolate.
Is to find that one chocolate station that they had on course that I never found.
Oh, that's
so
right.
I'm going to look for it this time.
Okay.
If they say that they have one.
You might have to slow down for that.
I might have to. I'm going to stop at every station and like look and all the cups be like, is this the chocolate station? And then I'll move on. So that's my goal for that race.
All right.
Okay.
All right. You got anything else? Otherwise, I think that's going to do it for this week.
That's it. The website for the podcast is embracerunning.com. You could find us on Facebook at facebook.com/embracerunning. Send us any comments, questions, or feedback at feedback@embracerunning.com or leave us a voicemail at 925-400-7223. If you enjoy the show, give us a review on iTunes. So until next time, embrace running.